Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Well, good morning to you. 10 minutes after 9 o'clock on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. This is Andy Griffin's show, and it is Mayor Thursday. And one of my favorite Thursdays always is when Michelle Randall is in the house, and she's here today.
Thanks, Andy. Good morning. I haven't seen you forever.
I know. Well, you're out breaking things and
I'm
stuff.
I'm breaking bones. Yeah. I'm having my tonsillectomy for the second time. Oh, how many people grow tonsils back after they've had them out?
I can think of one. I know one person that happened to, and that's it.
And now
well,
me.
Now two. Two
yeah,
people.
Yeah. Two. Yeah, so December was kind of a rough month and the 1st of January, but all good now.
I don't want to say this isn't very nice, but you and Tony seem a little snake bit. I mean, it seems like there's always something happening to one of you.
You know, that's better than what Zach Renstrom says.
What did he say?
He thinks that our house is built on an ancient Indian burial ground.
You're cursed.
Yeah, we're cursed.
You didn't happen to open up any Egyptian tombs or something?
No, we didn't. You know, it's just, we've been through our fair share, but you said you've been sick, and if you pass that to me,
I'm not.
I'll never come back here.
Well,
ever
the weird
again.
Thing is, and people that listen to the show know we played an old show yesterday. I was sick. I had the weirdest stomach flu that lasted like 4 hours, and I fell asleep after the kind of my last. I'm not going to go into details, but you know what I mean. And then after when I woke up, I felt better. I felt almost all better except for weakness. So it was weird. That was at 8 o'clock yesterday, I woke up.
It's just so. Last week was the last week. I don't know. Weeks run together now. Yes, I think it was last Monday and Tuesday. I went to San Diego with the Water Conservancy District. There was 30 of us that went down to tour two different wastewater treatment facilities mm-hmm. that they have down in San Diego, and fascinating and learned a lot. But Dr. Blodgett went with us. Mm-hmm. And so we took a bus from here to Vegas and got a plane from Vegas to San Diego and then same thing back. So we all had a lot of time to visit on the bus. And Dr. Blodgett was saying, everything is going around right now. He said, I've never seen anything like it, you know, from COVID, RSV, influenza A, influenza mm-hmm. B, this stomach virus. Tony's been coughing since December 29th.
Oh, man.
He's been to the doctor three times, and it's not pneumonia, but he coughed so bad last night, I finally said, wrap yourself in a blanket and go sit outside for a little bit. Like, you know how you used to do with your kids when they had the croup or something really bad? I said, just breathe in the cold air for a minute. But everybody I know has been sick, and I was telling you before we started, my parents had the stomach bug horribly. I haven't had it, Andy, so I'm telling you.
Well, we're not going to kiss.
We knocked on wood before we started, and
We're about maybe 6 feet apart, but
yes.
I'm talking into a microphone, and you are too, so
yes.
I think we're good. By the way, I forgot to mention that Mello is along for the ride today. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
We always love when Mel's here.
Yeah. It's good to have Mello. She is the yin to my yang or something when it comes to radio. So.
Yes. You got your Longhorn shirt on.
I do, yes.
Did you cry?
When they lost, it was hard, but you know what? They made it to the semifinals, which
is
pretty awesome. So
yeah, I was rooting for them, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think, you know, the Super Bowl, this is this Sunday, Eagles and Chiefs again. And... And I don't want either one of them to win. I don't know what to do. And it was kind of that way in the championship. You know, Notre Dame, Ohio State. I'm like, well, okay, what team do I hate the most in college football? Alabama or Ohio State? And then what would be, like, in the top five? Notre Dame? Yeah, so I had nowhere to go.
That was me. It's so funny because my eldest son's a huge Michigan fan. So he hates Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'll root for Notre Dame. And oh, it was a terrible game. At least you want a good game. You know, you don't want a blowout.
Yeah, you want to be last second play to win it. You know, that kind of thing.
And even with the Super Bowl, I want a good game.
Yeah.
But I think I'll be rooting for the Eagles just because
Because nobody wants the Chiefs to win a third in a row. That's a good
although
reason.
It would, you know, nobody has done it, so.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Anyway, yeah, any big Super Bowl plans? You guys go just barbecue a hamburger and call it good?
Well, okay, so I'm a little insulted. You would think that I would barbecue
no,
a hamburger. I have a smoker. I'm a hardcore smoker.
Right.
Yeah, brisket or ribs or something, but no, not really. Just you know, had a team that I even kind of liked been in it, it would have been more festive, but...
Which team was that?
Chiefs, Eagles. Well, I mean, any team, but the Chiefs or the Eagles. I mean, you know, Bills and the Commanders would have been, I don't like the Commanders, but I mean, that would have been better than what we got, I think. But
at least the Bills and the Chiefs game was good to watch. The Commanders and the Eagles the Commanders fell apart. And I still hate calling them the Commanders. It's the Redskins.
The Redskins, yeah.
But, yeah, that was a bad game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, of course, Michelle Randall is the mayor of St. George City. Now, you give speeches all the time. You are like, I mean, that's part of being
part
mayor,
of the gig.
A public figure, standing in front of people talking. But the State of the City address is, I mean, there's a lot of people there, and it's very, and by the way, it's next Tuesday.
It is Tuesday at 3
p.m.
We changed it to... coincide with the Transportation Expo,
which is brilliant.
And it's worked out so well because so many people will go to the Transportation Expo. And if you haven't been and you wonder what's going to happen with this street or that street or what are they doing with SR7, are they going to, you know, what exits are going to be going there, what here, there, everywhere, that's where you're going to get all your information.
Yeah,
so
it's really cool.
Yeah,
really
go
is.
Visit the Transportation Expo, and then if you want to stick around and hear the State of the City, that's at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Now, do you get nervous for something like this?
You know, I get nervous beforehand, but when the day of and when I get up on the stage, I'm not nervous. I've never been a person that like to have to give a talk in church or anything. That's never, it's the preparation that it's like, and so this year we're changing things up a little bit. We're going to show 8 different videos.
Okay.
And so we did a lot of voiceovers, and
I saw that you were in studio. Is that's what you were doing, voiceover stuff?
Uh-huh. Okay. And so all weekend I was reading out loud, and Tony was out in the family room. I don't know what he was watching. He came back in, he's like, "Who are you talking to?" And I'm like, "Myself." I'm reading out loud, trying to enunciate where I need to enunciate, and then because. Usually, like, if it's David Cordero and I just doing a quick, like, phone video or something, and it's not live, thank goodness, but I'll mess up and go, oh, blah, 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 you know? And you just can't do that on those voiceovers. So, and to my credit, I'm going to pat myself on the back.
Okay.
David reserved 2 hours for me, and I got it done in an hour.
Nice.
So, nice. I did okay. But... I will get up between every video and, you know, say some words.
So you're not really giving a speech. You're introducing.
I'm introducing things and then adding to them when I need to add to them. But we've got a ton of drone footage. You know, we just thought let's try something different than a slide.
PowerPoint. Yeah.
Because those bore me to death.
I thought they were pretty cool the last couple you did. But
so we're just going to try this and see how it goes.
Okay.
If people hate it, then we'll go back to old way. And if not.
So let me ask you a question. What's the biggest crowd you've ever spoken to as mayor? And then as not as mayor, but just as Michelle, what's the biggest crowd you've ever gotten up in front of? And I'll ask Mello, too, in a minute.
That's a very good question.
Okay, if you need to think about it, we'll make Mello go first.
Yeah, Mello go first.
Okay, September 11th, I do the emceeing for the September 11th event. So that's a pretty big crowd. And
where at?
Downtown.
Town Square.
Oh, okay.
And then I also have a social media where I have about 20,000 people
doesn't count.
It's you're in front of them, technically.
You're not live.
You have that big of a following, Mello?
Yeah, just on my organizing, but I kind of stopped doing it because I burned myself out by doing it every day for a long time. Yeah.
followers.
She's popular.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I've spoken at that event. State of the City, we usually get a pretty large crowd
in
there.
It's packed, man. It's packed.
I've had to speak to a lot of different conferences. Every conference that comes out of town wants the mayor to come and introduce them, welcome them and tell them a few highlights of the city, maybe to go see on their downtime. So I'm going to go with Mel and say that event and probably the State of the City are the two biggest ones during the year.
What about not as mayor? Just like, did you ever speak at a state conference or something like that?
I have spoken at a state conference.
So there was probably...
In the Tabernacle, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
So there were probably a couple thousand people there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And, I've done that. And then I speak to a lot of schools as mayor, you know, so you go into classrooms like... The second graders at Bloomington Hills Elementary all have me every year. And and that's fun because the questions you get asked there are hysterical.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, is that your real hair color?
No, they'll say things like, hey, my mom was texting while she was driving and a police officer pulled her over and I told her she shouldn't do that, but she did and she got a ticket and you learn all kinds of things.
Not even a question there. They're just telling
you a story. No, they're just telling you a story. Or, hey, my dog died and, you know, I'm so sorry. I had a dog that died too.
My dog's name was Tony and that's your husband's name and he fell off a truck. And
they're great though, but you just try and go and say, hey, what can you do to help the city, you know? And they'll come up with some great things, like I can pick up litter in the park or on the trails when I'm walking to school. And so those are fun things to do, you know, to go and talk to the kids. So
very cool. Very cool. Michelle Randall on the show today on the Annie Griffin Show. Michelle has had some health issues and she missed, you missed 2 months?
I missed February and January. So I'm December and January. So yeah. Last year I had strep 6 times. And so December, the first part of December, I was just getting over strep and I ended up having a tonsillectomy on the 13th. My second one, mind you. And then, I fell in D.C. So I went out to D.C. for the Martha Hughes Cannon statue. So if people don't know, in the U.S. Capitol, each state has two statues. And we've always had Brigham Young and Philo T. Farnsworth, who invented the television. And my son-in-law's mom is a Farnsworth, so he was really mad we were taking his ancestor out and replacing his ancestor with Martha Cannon. But if people don't know, Martha Cannon was the first state senator in the country. She ran against her husband. State senator in the country. She ran against her husband and beat him.
Yeah.
And
imagine the conversation they're getting ready for bed that night.
No, listen, she was one of 6 wives. She was number 4.
Oh,
so he
okay.
probably maybe didn't even know
I'm going
know
over
it was
to Martha's bed tonight.
Exactly. And she came from Wales. And then she went to the University of Michigan and became a physician. And imagine that in her time. I mean, she was a woman way before, you know, her time. And a tiny little thing. She was 4'11". And so when they, at the ceremony at the Capitol, the Speaker of the House spoke, Senator DeLee spoke, Congressman Malloy spoke, and then her granddaughter spoke, who was this tiny little thing you could hardly see over the podium. Hmm. And
now how old is she?
Well, so a guy was sitting in front of me videoing the whole thing. So I thought, I tapped him on the shoulder after. I'm like, are you family? And he said, yeah, that's my great-grandma up there. And I said, how old is she? And he said, 92.
Wow.
And she's just this tiny little thing. And so since she came from Wales, they had a reception afterwards at the British ambassador's mansion. Well, I had broke my arm right before the ceremony. So I missed the luncheon. But
so you went to the ceremony with a broken arm.
I went to the ceremony with a broken arm. In a sling, they had at least put a soft cast on it. Do not go. No one ever, ever, ever again complain about Intermountain. I'm telling you. I went to an Instacare in Washington, D.C. It was right across the street from our hotel. They made me wait forever as I'm watching my arm swell up like a balloon. finally asked if I could get an ice pack. Danielle Larkin was there. All the city council women went.
So Natalie and Michelle,
I called Michelle to my room instantly and said, come and tell me if you think this is broke. And she's like, oh, it's broke. So she called Danielle and said, find the nearest urgent care. Michelle and Natalie went to the lunch. Danielle and I went to the Instacare. Then we made it back to the Capitol in time for the unveiling. But they gave me 2 Tylenol and sent me on my way. And I ended up having 3 broken bones in my wrist and had to have surgery when I got back. So 10 days after my tonsillectomy, I had a titanium plate and 8 screws placed in my wrist.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So it was fun. Yeah. It was a fun December.
I have to say, I didn't even notice when you came in because it matches your jacket.
It matches
your cast perfectly.
I'm in black and pink today, and this is a nice black brace. I go to the orthopedic today, and I'm hoping he says you are good to go and don't have to wear this brace anymore.
Yeah, they don't usually say that very often, you know.
They usually say,
let's have it on a few more weeks, just in case.
Come on, let's.
Better safe than sorry.
We're putting out positive
okay.
vibes out there.
If you have a question for Michelle, please call us, 673-5890, or you can text me, 467-5842. I got a couple of texts. Now, I wanted to start by saying somebody texted me last Thursday and before 9 and said, hey, will you ask Mayor Randall this? Well, the problem is you weren't on last week. Somebody else was on last week.
First Thursday.
And so I can't find that text now. So whoever that was, if you want to hear Michelle's answer, you're going to have to text me again because I don't remember the question. It was a week ago, and Michelle would love to answer you. I just did get another one, though. Would you ask the mayor about the new City Hall mural, how the idea came up, and the details behind it? We think it's great. Thank you.
So the mural that's going on the actual City Hall?
I think so. Is that the one where they're putting 4.5-inch tiles and you can actually paint the tiles?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So, actually, I want to say Councilwoman Larkin, she travels a lot. And she saw something kind of like that at a City Hall she went to. And so she brought the idea forward. And so these tiles are going to be so cool because everyone can paint on them individually. The main artist will be there to say, okay, this is, you know, paint this on it. It will be individual, but once it all comes together, it will look like a big different mural, but it will be all community members that can do that. And I should have had the link, but if you want to be a part of that, get a hold of our arts department. If the parks number is easier to find, call them and say, hey, send me to the arts department because I'd love to be a part of painting that tile.
A community paint night, at least one, maybe two of them that will be a part of that. Now, the way it was explained to me, and you can confirm or deny this, but basically that you get a tile. And then they give you a color scheme of markers that you use on that tile, or markers or paint colors or whatever it is, so that you can paint whatever you want, but it needs to be in this particular color scheme.
Exactly.
And then when it's all put together, it has this amazing mural.
If I wanted to paint a horse,
right,
I could paint that horse in whatever colors they told me that my tile needs to be.
Right.
And then when I go look at it, it's going to look like one big mural. But when you get up close and look at everybody's tile, it's going to be something different.
Yeah.
But like it's going to be, I think they'll have a theme, like, you know, a Southern Utah theme type of theme.
I think. Someone told me it would be 2 people on a trail, Snow Canyon Trail or something.
Yes, it's going to be colors that match our area and kind of our history. But up close, you might, you know, somebody might paint a wagon. Somebody might want to do, you know, a cactus or, you know, some pioneer or, I don't know, a horseshoe.
I do have a date for you.
Oh, perfect. Thanks, Mel. That's why you're here.
Wednesday, February 12th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Dixie Academy. And then Friday, February 28th from 4 to 7 at Social Hall. So they're having community paint nights. And you can also sign up on the St. George City dot StGeorgeCityUtah.gov website, there's a thing for the community art mural. And that's does where that information
have a,
is.
Does it have a slash on their mail? It might be on the homepage. So just
from the homepage, I found it.
Okay, perfect. Yep, so SGCity.org. SGCityUtah.org.
That's correct. They changed
mm-hmm. the website name. But the Dixie Academy building, if people don't know, it is the third floor of the Children's Museum.
Okay.
I mean, that's where they'll be.
Okay. So you got to climb some stairs. But other than that.
No, there's an elevator.
Oh, there is. Okay.
There is one elevator in the back. So
it sounds fun. And I actually called my wife after I got off. Marianne Hamilton was on talking about this the other day. And I actually called my wife and I said, I'm no artist, and everybody that knows me knows I am no artist. I could do a stick figure. That's why I'm really good at stick figures.
Which, you know what, Andy? That Anasazi, you know, you
that's
could
right.
go back to the petroglyphs.
Crocapelli and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I called my wife and I said, this kind of sounds fun. Let's do a tile. Each of us do a tile and be a part of this project. It sounds neat.
Because it'll be in there forever. Yeah. I mean, the current City Hall is... It was built in 1980, so it's 45 years old. This one will be around longer because we've made it so there's room to grow.
Forward thinking.
And we wanted it where it's right downtown, in the center of downtown. We wanted people to feel like it was their City Hall. That's why there will be a big atrium to walk through to get from the parking garage over to Town Square. Our parking garage will be open 24/7. It's open to the public. So, yeah, but we're really excited to see the whole project come together.
Yeah. Some different non-art projects around town. We want to talk a little bit about some of the roads and things.
Do we?
City is growing by leaps and bounds, and it certainly there's a concern about water right now because we just can't seem to get a
driest
rainstorm to hit.
I know, driest winter ever, and if you pray, if you do a rain dance, whatever, do whatever you can to. We need some snow in those mountains.
Yeah, yeah. The soil is dry. The mountain, that pine mountain that's usually white this time of year, is not.
No. It's been really disappointing because last year was such a great year.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
do you anticipate? I remember we had Ron Thompson on all the time before Zach took over, and he always used to say, well, there's always March and April, and notoriously, I mean, April showers bring May flowers, right? So do you feel like...
He's still saying that, by the way.
Is he still saying it?
Yeah, because Zach talked to him the other day, and he said, don't panic yet, Zach. We still have, the rest of February, March, and April.
Yeah.
And but we are still in good shape for the summer. You've got... Sand Hollow and under Sand Hollow is completely full too. And that's that's our backup. And so, but people really need to, we're going to have to be cognizant of how much water do you want to use on your lawn? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I had my sprinkler on for one day this year. And so I have an AMI meter on my house.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have one yet?
Yeah. Well, I actually, so I guess they're installing them by neighborhood. Our neighborhood wasn't installed yet, but we got a water bill that was more than it should have been. And so we called St. George City and said, hey, we think we have a leak. And they're like, well, let's come in and put one of those AMI meters on your house. And sure enough, we were leaking about 10 gallons an hour.
Wow.
And so we're like, okay, let's get, I mean, that's not a ton, but that's more than.
It adds up.
So we said, let's figure out what it is. And we were able to find the leak and get it taken care of.
Eventually, everybody, they've got about, I think, a third of the city done. So eventually, everybody within St. George City will have one on. And you can check how much water you use hourly,
that's
daily,
very cool.
Weekly,
it is so cool.
Monthly.
Yeah.
And I turn my sprinkler on Tuesday just because they fertilized and put some pre-emergent on. So mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm going to just run it through a cycle. And it goes from barely any water to, for just a day.
Yeah,
and so that's why it's really important in the summer, even if your lawn's not going to be super bright green, to only water three times a week in the summer.
And if you have a small patch of grass that you don't use, put some turf in.
Yeah,
or some kind of desert friendly. $2
per square foot is the rebate.
Yeah.
At the water conservancy.
My wife and I did that. Our front lawn and our side lawn are now artificial turf, and we don't use outside water except to water trees and stuff.
So, that's awesome.
Drip system. It's pretty cool. So, all right, let's bring Ethan in for just a minute if we can steal that microphone from you, Michelle. Ethan is with Teton Wealth Group. And Ethan tells us about the Ascent Plan. Man, this sounds good. Ascent Plan.
What yeah, you need to ascend, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. Ascend from where you are. Ascend out of that anxiety that you're feeling over your finances. Yeah. You're able to fix that 10-gallon an hour drip in your pipes. Well, chances are you might have similar things draining on your finances. You might be paying extra taxes in your investments that you could tighten up, or in your income plan. You could be dragging a little extra risk, a little more than you need to. Yeah. You could be paying a little too much for some of the benefits that you need to carry, especially around things like health insurance. You may have left yourself unprotected in your estate plan in some meaningful way. So the Ascent Plan was designed to tighten all that up. We built the Ascent Plan as our proprietary process. Every family we work with has an Ascent Plan. And if you don't have one yet from Teton Wealth Group, every family needs one of these. I really believe it's the best way to make sure that you are putting your best foot forward towards a retirement that is full of purpose and prosperity and joy. You've got to have a few things lined up. So if you don't have one yet, I want you to call this number, 435-255-6331. I said we'd give away three. I'll make room for an extra one or two if another family wants to call in right now. 435-255-6331. And there's no cost and no obligation. And we walk you through those five areas. We show you, hey, here's what you're doing well. Here's what some of the problems are, and here are a couple of tasks that we think can move the needle for you. In addition to the Ascent Plan, you're going to get a copy of our book, How to Retire Without a Financial Advisor. You will have, when you finish this Ascent Plan experience, you will have the tools that you need to make meaningful steps forward. I tell people all the time, after we do this, you're going to be different. You're going to see things differently. You're going to carry a little less anxiety around your finances, and that's going to benefit your life in a lot of important ways. So if you're still feeling some anxiety over the market volatility and the inflation questions and just all this stuff that's happening, right? How long you're going to be on this earth and how much you're going to need to spend. These are all solvable problems. So 435-255-6331. We'd love to do one for you.
And just on a personal note, I went to Teton Wealth Group, sat down with the guys, my wife and I, we went through the whole thing. And you know what happened? This craziest thing. They said, well, here's the target date for if you want to retire, but you don't have to do anything right now.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And we're waiting till retirement.
And
it's
awesome. Isn't it amazing to have a date out there? A lot of people work past their retirement dates. We show them, we say, hey, you could retire now. And they say, I'm going to work a little longer because I enjoy it. But
well, yeah, we'll probably do that too.
But boy, it changes your relationship with work when you know that you don't have to be there.
Yeah.
If as long as it's bringing joy to your life, then do it. As soon as it stops bringing joy to your life, bounce out of there.
Ascent Plan. Phone number for Teton Wealth Group is 435-255-6331. 255-6331. You'll get on the phone with Ethan and the guys, and they'll get you taken care of.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
Let's check weather now.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
It's Mayor Thursday. Michelle Randall is here. I feel like it's 20 minutes too already. We blew the hour up in a hurry.
I know. And just real quick, Andy, I got a text from Emily at the City Hall.
Hi, Emily.
Glad you're listening. But she said that if you can't find that on the homepage, go to for the tiles and the paint night, sgcityutah.org/cityhallmural.
City Hall Mural.
And that'll take you right there.
So cool.
So
I love the project. I really do. All right. I got a text too. This is for you. Are you planning to have pay parking in the downtown parking garage? How much and how will that work? We're now already having parking problems downtown, and forcing people to pay might make it worse on the public streets.
No.
It is not pay parking. So
our parking garage, no.
That's actually a quick and easy answer right there.
Very quick and easy. Nope. It'll be open 24/7 to the public for free.
Anybody that's been in big cities, especially a big city that has a ballpark or something, a couple of years ago we went to Houston, and everything was pay. I mean, everywhere you parked was pay, especially if you wanted to be there for a 3-hour ball game or something. And I mean, we had to pay, gosh, I think it was like $50 for 4 hours or
something. You know, our philosophy is it's the taxpayers that are building this new city hall and building that that parking structure, and it should be open to them all the time. So, amen.
Amen. Mello, did you have any questions for the mayor right now?
I'm just enjoying everything you guys are talking about right now.
So one of the parking things that people might be interested in, if they use Fourmaster, you know, it's been closed.
Fourmaster has been rough lately.
Yeah. It has been rough lately. It will be open on the 21st. That project has taken such a long time. So there was three huge culverts under that road right there that we think were installed probably in the late 70s.
Okay.
So
this would be, are we talking about the lower before it goes up the hill?
Yep. We're talking right there by the hospital.
Okay.
And so that road's been closed. You could only to get to the hospital, but you can't go past like Coral Desert and that area. Anyway, that will be open on the 21st of February. The project won't be completely finished by then, but they will have the road open. They're installing a huge culvert box right there to take care of. You know, we have a lot of aging infrastructure that people don't see under the roads. I mean, this city's been incorporated for a very long time, and when technology and you've got those old pipes that now they have.
Sure. We had a water main break a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. So we were in, Scott Taylor, our water director, was in San Diego with me on that tour, and his phone was just blowing up that morning. I'm like, what's going on? And he's showing me pictures. That was a 6-inch water line to a fire hydrant.
Wow.
And it made that much damage.
Yeah. Wow.
So, so people that are wondering when that's going to be open, February 21st is the date on that.
So, we've always talked to Zach about the water situation and like if there's a fire, you know, because in California, they got to the end of the line, there was no water left to put the fires out. And he said, number one, that won't happen here. But he said, number two, we do budget in our water budget, you know, the possibility there's going to be a fire. But it blew me away. He said the amount of water used to put a fire out is astronomical. It is a huge number. And you don't even think about it. And then you said the pipe broke, led to a fire hydrant. Well, yeah, and now we know why there was so much water there.
Much pressure, you know, and it just blew, and that road was closed for almost 2 days because it did so much damage. And by the time they, repaired everything, and then you had the streets department come in and replace the roadway that was blown out. And so, you know, you always have things like that that, you keep a fund budget that you can dip into for unforeseen things like that. But no, we would not have fires where, you know, we would never let a reservoir go dry for one thing. If we need more reservoirs, if we had more reservoirs right now, Andy, it just makes me sick to go down to her wastewater treatment facility and see the water we're treating down there that is water that is good enough to put on our grass, you know, that's what we use for our parks, the school district, the golf courses, and to see it just being treated and thrown out into the Virgin River to Lake Mead makes you absolutely sick. And I'm hoping with this new administration, we can get things moving more than at tortoise pace. So that we can get
no reference there to anything else.
No reference to anything else. But we need that reservoir in Ivins. We need the St. George Graveyard Wash.
No, we're not going to call it that.
I know. We got to come
Randall,
up with something.
The Randall Reservoir. Rosenberg Lake.
I said Randall Reservoir, and Rick Rosenberg was on. Seven mayors went on that down to San Diego, and he likes Hamblin Reservoir, which is. I don't mind that because the Jacob Hamblin home is right there.
It too, yeah. I think the Hafen family owns the property.
They
right
own
now.
Part of the property, yeah.
So I thought Hafen Lake sounded really good, too.
Yeah. I said, well, we could go with Graveyard, and then we could get some of those Halloween skeletons and put them like on a paddleboard and and set them up around the lake, and nobody liked that idea.
But if
we had Warner Valley, just think, Warner Valley will be bigger than Sand Hollow, people. We could be filling that sucker up with water.
Yeah.
And so
the frustration with the, I mean, let's just throw it right out, the Environmental Protection Agency and the NEPA permits and all that stuff making progress terrible. Tortoise pace.
It is. It's tortoise pace. And you have to go through that NEPA process that takes forever.
Yeah.
And you go through the Army Corps of Engineers, and there's so many hurdles in the way of just, like, why wouldn't you want a reservoir built to capture water? We're in the West. Yeah. And so anyway, that is a key to get us out.
Yeah.
In the future with water. But also, you know, we are looking at what they're doing in San Diego, the whole reuse system throughout the whole region.
But, and also, you know, I think this is interesting because you have people that fall on both sides of the fence on this one. But Mayor Billings from Hurricane is no secret. She is very adamant that, you know, praying for rain, asking our Creator for a little help is a good thing. And I just find it very interesting that there are a lot of people like, well, that's stupid. You know, you hear that all the time. And I'm like, okay.
But. Well, I pray for rain, but also you got to do things too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have faith, but you got to put in some work too.
Exactly.
And so we've got a
like
plan.
Like a Sunday school lesson here.
I know. Now we're preaching. But you've got a plan for the future. And people, you know, the number one thing is to just quit letting people come here, and we'll have plenty of water. Mm. And then you come down to, okay, if you own property, let's say you owned 100 acres in the South Block, Andy, and we just said, guess what? Yeah, right? You can't build on that. We're not going to let you build there anymore.
Yeah, no, sorry. Store's closed.
What I want people to realize, I have 11 grandkids. They all live in Washington County. I would love for them to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to secure water for them to be here and their families to be here, and on and on and on. Like, I'm a sixth generation Southern Utahite. I don't know what you want to call it. Yeah. My grandkids are an eighth generation. I would like to see the 12th generation be able to be here with water. Oh. But we have to plan for that, and we have to plan well, and it won't be cheap. But another thing that people need to realize, and this is a hard one for people, our property taxes are low here. We are the fifth largest city in Utah. And out of the 18th largest cities in Utah, our taxes are at number 18 out of the 20.
Wow.
Okay? So think of that. We bring in, the city of St. George brings in $12 million a year in property taxes. That can't fund one department in the city. That couldn't fund the fire department. That can't fund anything. So we rely on sales tax, which has been great. Our sales tax has been great. And so do we want to cut off growth and say no more businesses can come in here? Then if we're relying heavily on sales tax, and then another thing, if we just shut down everything, imagine what housing prices would be then. We talk about it now, but there's just, and the people who really want to shut things down are the people who have just moved here within the last 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm. I have had conversations with people that say they should not let anybody else move here. I'm like, oh, how long have you been here? 2 years.
Yep.
Oh, really? So you're here 2 years now, so it's okay to shut the
So it just doesn't pencil there.
Got to pay a couple of bills here. We'll be right back. 2 minutes.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to have Michelle Randall here today on Mayor Thursday. We miss you when you're gone.
I miss you when I'm gone.
Yeah, you have some sharp people. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
we
you know,
do have sharp
you have
people.
Some really sharp people come on in your stead, but it's not quite the same as having you here.
They don't smell as good as I do, right?
Nobody smells as good as you.
I could buy them all my perfume and have them wear it in.
Well, that would work if you sent some women in, but, you know, having Cordero walk in smelling like that, that's not...
David would do it.
He probably would.
No, they've been great, and I really appreciate them. And thank goodness December's really slow anyway because of the holidays, and we only had two city council meetings in December, so it was a good time if I was going to break something to break it then and have some surgery and, you know.
It's always, it's a good time to break something. What do you make of this protest earlier this week, this past weekend, with the whole illegal immigrant thing? And
okay, I wondered if you...
I don't want to get you in trouble. But...
No, you won't get me in trouble. So our police have a policy, and they sent it out again to the entire police force when the first protest came up. We have never racially profiled. Now, there's going to be people say, oh, bull, you know, people that hate police. Yes, they do.
Yesterday, our news guy had a quote from someone saying, they pull us over all the time because we have brown skin. And I was like, I would like to know the statistics on that because that doesn't.
They don't. Yeah, and that's why they have body cam. Because if that person says, oh, they did, they pulled me over for that, we can go pull up the body cam footage and see why the person was pulled over. So if you're committing a crime and you're here illegally and we find out about the crime or you're pulled over for a traffic violation or whatever and have no identification on you, then, yes, you're going to be arrested. If you're here illegally and you're just working and living life and you have an identification, I don't know, maybe you got it fraudulently, I don't know. We're not after you. We are after the criminals. We're after the gang members that we have here. We're after, a guy at my husband's work was followed into work the other day, and come to find out, he's got a federal warrant. And they were like, oh, it's ICE coming in, No, it was another agency that followed him, and there was a federal warrant for him. But I think anybody sees any person of color with brown skin now being pulled over, they think, oh my gosh, ICE is here raiding everything.
Yeah,
we do have ICE here, and they do know some really bad people that now they can actually arrest and have them deported. Do I want those people in my community? No. If you're part of the cartel or another, you know, pretty messy gang, I want you gone. I don't want you here in St. George.
Yeah, good riddance, too.
But if you're just here and you're raising your family and you're working hard and you're not committing any crimes, we don't care.
I know. There's definitely a misconception about that right now. My sister, who works at a school, said, you know, they had a bunch of illegal people, kids not come to school. And the reason their parents were afraid that they were going to take them out of school and send them back to Mexico.
Right.
It ain't happening.
No,
I don't know why. I don't know if it's a language barrier or what, but that's not happening right now.
And I can see, you know, they're watching the national news and they're scared and they think that, you know, we're rounding up everybody. And for one thing, we don't have the resources to do that, to just go in from, go knock door to door. Can I see your identification? Can I see, you know, your papers? But they do know of people who are here illegally that are criminals. And those are the ones they're after.
Yeah. And if you don't want the criminals gone, I'm not sure what's wrong with you.
Right. I don't care if you're white or brown skin or whatever color skin you are. If you're a criminal that's committing some major crimes, I don't want you in my community. I want you locked up for a long time, or I want you back to your home country.
Well said. Well said. Michelle Randall, mayor of St. George City. Michelle, real quick, calendar items, things you, I guess the big one is next Tuesday.
Yep. City of the City, you know, the paint night, if you want to be a part of those, the tile.
That's the 12th, so that would be what, next Wednesday?
Wednesday. Super Bowl is coming up tomorrow, actually. And that's always huge. I don't know if they have tickets left or not. You can get on the website to find out, but people make pottery bowls, and then they serve a bunch of different soups, and that's always a fun event. You know, we've got the art festival coming up in April. So, you know, it'll be a busy time of year, but.
April, by the way, for those who are new to the area, April in St. George might be just about perfect.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you've got highs in around 80 and lows around 60. And I mean, that to me, that's perfect weather.
Yes. So. It's great weather.
Great place to be.
We live in a great place.
Are you now, I feel stupid for even asking, are you up for election in November?
I am.
You are. So yes. You'll be running.
I will be running.
You are running again.
I am running again. Okay.
I don't know if you saw Rick Rosenberg say he is not going to run again.
No, Rick's not. And I don't think Chris Hart is running either. Okay. But they've done a whole lot. They put in a whole lot more years than I have. I would like to do one more term and then be done. So,
all right. And then that's it for public service?
Then that's it for public service. Okay. So I'll find something else to do.
Yeah, go see those grandbabies.
Yeah.
She's Michelle Randall. Mello, thanks for hanging out with us today. Appreciate it. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for listening, everybody. Open Line Friday. Mello will be back to hang with us. And we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, everyone.